morning sickness.
Disgusting. They smell. They're sticky. They say things that are horrible.
98. UPD.
I'm still standing better than
here we
I
go.
Did.
On a Thursday morning, and it is once again time for a guy who just can't crack that top three to save his ass. Ian Canfield. Canfield in the mornings on
hello,
KUPD.
Everybody. No burns. No burns.
Burn. Completely burn-free. Have you ever burned yourself up to where you had to be gauzed up like a mummy like Steve-O just was?
No. I haven't done anything anywhere near as crazy as what Steve-O does. Yeah, I mean, he can make you feel uncomfortable sitting on your sofa at home, can't he? Watching
yeah.
Some stuff.
Oh, it's brutal. Have you ever been a daredevil type or anything like that? You've always been kind of a coward.
Yeah, always been a coward. I'm proud to be a coward. I would be the first to run.
Me too.
Why would you? Why do you want to be?
You didn't do any jumping
ditto.
With your bike, like ramps and stuff
what,
like that?
What, BMX stuff?
Off. Yeah.
No, not ramps. Maybe when I first got a BMX, I tried to do the thing where you'd like twist it, and
the
then
spin?
I think I fell off of it. Yeah. I tried like one spin and was like, you know what? I'm just going to go like in one direction.
Yeah. You know, and you pointed it out as he was leaving. Steve-O was leaving. You were in the room, and I'm like, see you later, Steve-O. And I go to like say goodbye to him and give him a hug. And I had that moment where I'm like, I don't want to hurt him.
Which is very bizarre when you think of it. I mean, I was just saying off air, if you were to go to just like Wikipedia and see every time that Steve-O has cheated death,
yeah.
And then in July 2017, John Holmberg kills him by a hug. Although yeah. That wouldn't surprise me because, right. I mean, your hugs are probably quite hateful.
Yeah, they're filled with hate and vitriol and well, maybe.
Other than the cheek press.
Yeah.
He likes doing the cheek
I
press.
I love
oh,
that.
Really?
There's nothing that makes people more uncomfortable. And especially because I haven't shaved in like 2 weeks, to have somebody with a little stubble and they're like, see you later, and they want to give you a man-to-man hug, and you just put your cheek up against their cheek for a half second and you'll recognize how insanely uncomfortable they are.
Yeah.
It's so great.
I think everyone would have been uncomfortable if you'd have given Steve-O a hateful hug. You know, sometimes people crack their fingers and some people go, oh, that sounds horrible, and suddenly you just went,
snap his
like, oh, I've snapped him.
What
I think he's dead.
What's up, bro? You can't do that.
He does.
There's a vacancy at Tempe Improv over the weekend. Steve-O died this morning on KUPD.
Well, that's why I asked him that. I'm like, you know, fantasy's about to, everybody kind of goes through like, God, I hope I don't die like that. Or hope, and then you start to think, I wonder how I'm going to. And you rattle off thoughts.
Yeah.
He's putting himself in line for it so often. You have to think, like he's sitting in bed the night before going, well, tomorrow I'm going to try to do the Fire Angels. I wonder if this is it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's got
the
that gene
angel.
In his brain. I don't know
I
if he's got
imagine.
That. I worry
that
about starting my car in the morning.
Yeah.
Like this could be the last ride. He doesn't. He burns himself up and thinks
about
that's good.
That?
Oh, every once in a while I think, well, is this the last day?
Well, those one-way drivers and all those drunk drivers
that's
still
the
like, because you're getting up 5 a.m., right?
Yeah, you're driving around at 4 o'clock.
By the way, I heard you use that line. This is last week. I'm still laughing about it now. Someone who's full of seed. The old lady.
Who's full of seed?
That was,
wait a minute, what?
I'm still laughing about it now.
I don't remember our show.
I was sitting in bars and places over the weekend, like, chuckle about this. And I'm
about
like,
women filled with seed?
Yes.
Why is that funny to you?
The person, did we go off on the Bukkake film?
No. The old lady doing the drive of shame. That was it.
Oh,
did
yes.
I dream this?
Yes.
This actually happened
yes.
on air, right?
Yes, yes it did. Yeah. Well, no. Ian, here's how.
Because I said, odds are she's coming from a retirement village doing the
hold
walk
on a
of
second.
Shame.
Here's what Ian needs to learn. A successful morning show doesn't focus on the past.
Right.
We work forward. I don't remember yesterday. In fact, I don't remember the 6 o'clock hour because I know the next hour probably be better.
Yeah. Well, right now.
So, hang on a second. The audience has something
to say.
Listen, it can't be wrong.
They never get enough.
I never remember anything we talk about. But yeah, she's filled with seed and has to do that weird
Yeah, so that's why you get fear. Bringing it back to the present day like a professional morning show. That's why you have fear when you get in the car at 4 a.m.
That is it.
Because you might run into an old lady who's full of seed. I mean, imagine the mess of that. And also, there would be like, if they did the DNA, if you died in the car, and then they'd be like, what's John been doing?
Yeah. Well, hopefully she's kegged and she can contain her mess.
She's holding it in.
She's holding it in tight, and even the wreck just kind of clinches her up even
so
more.
So this is the first thing that goes through your mind in the morning?
Every
when
morning.
You wake up at 4 a.m., you're like, oh, my God, I really hope I don't run into a wrong-way elderly driver.
An old lady with weak kegels doesn't hit me and money shot me to death.
And it's like a water balloon.
Yeah, it would just be off. I would, you know, blown up an old lady. But she'd live to tell the tale.
Yeah.
And I'd be there, you know.
But yeah, you're right. If you're Steve-O, like, it's not like going to bed at night and thinking, oh, you know, I've got to do an important presentation at work tomorrow. I've got to file a report. Like, yeah, I'm going to set fire to myself. I'm going to
his nervousness is different than ours.
Yeah,
his like, butterflies come from different things.
Because I think, like when you talk about dying, all I think about is like what age do you want to go? And I think
what
I might be
call?
Happy to kind of like knock it on the head around 70, 75 because I figure after that everything starts going wrong. And what fun is that?
Right.
You know
what
I mean?
That's what my dad said to me. He said, look, he's 70 this year. And about 5 years ago, he goes, look, I got 10 good years left if I'm lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's like, so I just want to make the most out of that. After 75, we'll see. And he said, but we made a deal that day that if that day comes where I have to, if a doctor ever comes into a room and says, look, he's never going to be able to wipe his ass again, and he needs help with that. I told him that's not going to be my job. And he goes, well, good. Nobody's going to do that. You put a pillow over my face. You've got my permission. So when it comes to that time, my dad will die from being murdered by me because I won't wipe his ass.
Like Steve O'Neill was this morning.
And exactly. And that's fair. And I told him, I said, look, if you're still around and the doctors tell me he can't wipe his own ass, that's a thing that I get murdered
for. Yeah.
We can get
and
you
that's
a sponge
fair.
Boy.
I think that's a completely fair way to live, is to worry about old age being, you know, a burden.
Yeah.
Yeah, it stinks. There's Eric and
Hey, what's up, mate? Jeff Lynn just arrived.
That's right.
Jeff Lynn, the Jeff Lynn of house sales.
How would
just
you, like, if you could pick your death, Ian Canfield, what would it be?
Yes, I want to hear this.
Yeah, Eric's thrilled.
Eric's
by
like,
it.
Could you do it right now?
Yeah.
So we could just cut the feature short and it could never happen again. Could your death happen at like 9:20 on whatever the date is? wouldn't you just like want to go in your sleep? I don't know, like,
just to go away.
Yeah, just to go away, because you don't want to go through any kind of like pain or suffering.
That's what we're all
and also the whole idea of like you get really ill and then it goes on forever.
Yes.
And then your life is just no fun.
It's just
whatsoever.
Constantly doctors,
you know?
and
so I think that idea of like, yeah, I'll knock it on the head about 70, right?
Would you ever consider doing yourself in? Because that's my plan. And Megan is too selfish to get on board because she's 8 years younger than me. But I thought maybe retiring in the next year or two, taking what you've got, liquidating everything, and then bouncing around the world and then running up credit cards until you're at zero and you got nothing left.
And then you check out.
Then you check out, and she won't do it because she's like, I'm 8 years younger than you. That's not fair to me. So I said I wanted to do the checkout plan at around 60.
Mm-hmm.
Because I figure you get 15 good years of money.
Oh, I don't know. I think 60's too young.
But
I think
you look good and you feel great.
Yeah, but I still think you can have another 10 years.
But why do you want to push it?
Yeah, no, with medicine the way it is.
Leave them one. I don't. Yeah, nah, you could. But 60's still like, man, that's great. And people would still be like, man, he left us wanting more.
Because your dad's like 70, isn't he?
Yeah, he looks great.
And he's out there hunting and killing
elk. Yeah, but still, he's going to end up,
he's still
rotting.
Skinning deer at 70.
Doing the walk of shame every morning.
Yeah, he walks of shame. He's got that. He's got to clinch up that load.
Occasionally you call him and go, you haven't been a wrong-way driver, have you?
No, he calls you, I got a load in me. I'll call you back. It's been a long night, boy.
You know
him. What are your parents like?
Skinned deer at the back.
Your parents,
my mom's not around anymore. My dad is, how old's my dad last? 65.
Yeah. Get along with him?
Yeah, I got along with him fine.
Yeah, he's fine. Does he like that you're an American now?
Yeah, I think he likes the fact that I'm happy.
Yeah.
He knew how miserable I was when I was in the UK.
So he prefers your happiness rather than your
me being
proximity.
Around. Yeah, he likes the idea that he only gets to see me for 2 weeks at Christmas, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
And you go back
there. Well, here's a very telling.
In the 2 weeks that you're back, you're not you're different. You're not talking about your disdain towards England the whole time.
Only
right?
when I have to leave the house.
Yeah, when
and
you
go
have to
the
go
store.
See it.
Yeah, I'd say, well, last time I went back, I went shopping with my sister because I was staying with her, and we're in the line. And I'm like, why is no one opening the next checkout? Why is this line so? Right. I've been there one day, and she said to me, don't worry, in 13 days, you'll be back in a proper country. I was like, I love the way you talk like me. Although, the store's making me angry.
You turn into me when you're in England. You're just mad at everything.
Oh, I'm so mad at everything all the time.
I'm not. I'm a happy man.
Very telling, though, about how far away my dad likes to be from me. So he visited, because my mom's not around anymore, he visited with my sister's family so they could all come over. We have a little family get together. And then after, when they were going back, I said to him, you know, you can come out and stay by yourself anytime. Oh, no, I couldn't do that 11-hour flight. So
he's not coming here. That's 11 hours.
He's not coming here.
You're an inconvenience.
Yeah, exactly. I'm an inconvenience at this point.
That's fine. He knows other people.
You know the other thing that I don't want to happen, which has happened to my dad as well? Like, when you're in your 60s, you get stuck into this, like, this regime. So if I'm not FaceTiming him at, like, 11 a.m. my time on a Sunday, he's like, what's going on? I'm sitting at the computer.
Oh, he's got a schedule.
Yeah. And he doesn't have any need for
you
a
schedule.
You FaceTime
every Sunday at 11?
Yeah.
For what?
Just for a chat.
What do you have to talk to him about? I don't talk to my dad that much. He lives up the street.
What stuff?
I talk to my parents probably
every Sunday.
No, I don't have a scheduled time, but once a week.
I don't want to have a scheduled time. It's just what happens with
it's what you have
when you get
to do.
Old. These are the things that
what was your last conversation? I can't even imagine like a planned phone call to my dad. Usually it's like,
I don't know. What did we talk about? Oh, he was telling me something he read about the book. He always tells me what he's read. And I'm saying to him, yeah, I've been to Vegas to see Maiden. No interest in that whatsoever.
He didn't care about that. That's not. You're selfish for even telling that story.
Dad, you should have seen Eddie.
I'm like, you should have seen Eddie. And he's going, so it's going to be 78 degrees here. Everyone's moaning about it in the UK. That's like our conversation. I'm like, yeah, but I was backstage and I was in the sound desk and he's like, yeah, so everyone's burning.
Does it ever get like awkward and there's a quiet pause and then Dad says, Ian, when are you going to be serious about your life?
No. I had a pint of Trooper beer.
When are you going to get a job? A proper job, son.
We never really get to the pause because it'll get to a certain point and they'll just go, Well, I haven't got anything else to tell you.
That's
so I'll
perfect.
Speak to you next week.
Yeah. And you just sit and listen to it.
There you go. That's what you do.
What are you doing in your tea time show? I just picture your dad being very reserved.
Is
bouncing he
still
off
break
the
for tea?
Is he that reserved? Do they break for tea? Well, he still drinks tea, yeah. But not everyone is that archetypally British.
Is he wildly proud of you?
Yeah, he likes the fact that I'm doing what I love and I'm in the
are
place
you,
that
though?
I love.
Are you?
What are you saying?
You're not really doing what you love.
What are you referring
what
to?
You loved, what you were doing what you love. But now you're doing
mornings.
Now you're doing
midday. Now I just have to do like a 60 minutes.
Nobody flies
here
from another
edition.
Country to do middays.
Well, you know, sometimes surviving is good enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, surviving. Everybody wants to survive. You can survive in the wild. I'm just saying nobody flies out and go, okay, a proper job from 10 to 3. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good.
But
sounds
gets,
good on paper.
He gets a little
right?
taste every Thursday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then you get what it's
and, you know, to be honest, I think
so he's proud of this.
I enjoy, yeah, he's proud of this. He loves this. He loves this. He listens to this. And he's like that guy that you're on with, you could never say those kind of things right. in the UK. I'm
now
like,
you
yeah.
said,
and I say to him, now don't go leaving the house repeating what John says, because otherwise right. you're going to get into trouble. They
you,
won't like
this.
Dad,
quit acting like a patchy.
See, you can't say that. It makes him cringe. And I was just going to bring up that
really,
I don't use that phrase anymore.
You're actually right. I ran, and this is a you thing, because I was so fascinated when you didn't realize that
no
word
clue.
is the most terrible thing
what
to
word?
Say. I'm not saying it.
Well, then no one
the
knows
P
what you're
word.
The P word.
That's
penis?
That's number two after the N word.
It is nowhere near two.
It is two. What's number two then?
A gook.
Yeah, I would agree with
that. That's
them
much
on that.
Higher than packy.
No, honestly.
Oh, chink?
No, that's in the top 10, but it's lower
wow.
down.
So your bigotry has like a rating
no,
system. You have like you're like the Dick Clark of bigotry.
I'm trying to give you.
Coming in at number 5, Casey Kasem's top 10 words you can't say.
A Mick?
Mick's not bad.
What, Jagger?
Right.
Well,
so,
no,
but
I
you say Packy's right there because in England it is.
Oh, it's terrible. But right. After we did this the other week, I phoned one of my friends in LA and I'm like, hey, can you listen to the podcast? And he's like, I can't believe he's saying it. I said, right, in California, can you say it? He's like, no, I've never heard anyone say it here.
In he's American?
He's British, but he's lived there for like 6 years.
Please, big deal. I've lived here for 45. I know a lot more about what you can say and not say here, and Packy's okay.
It's all about intent with those words.
Right.
Anyway. Like, we're being completely ignorant because we don't understand.
I had no clue. I honestly had no clue that it was even a slur. I just thought it was just a shortening.
But I've lived here over a year, and the only person I have heard say it is you. Like,
really?
You're here. Well,
that's not true. You don't hang out with my friends.
Who are your friends?
A bunch of Packies.
he calls them that all the time.
Yeah, Packy boys. Yeah. I'm when I'm off in the morning, I'm a dispatch guy at a cab company. I'm always on the mic.
Everyone
you know?
Has a sidekick.
Yeah. Everybody's got a sidekick.
Yeah, that could be my next gig.
Yeah, well, that's the way Tripp's pushing.
You considered the dispatcher.
You know, they let you talk on a mic to the guys in the car. It's just like radio.
Yeah. Okay. You could have your own, like, morning show on the cab network.
Ian, I've done all the hard, heavy lifting here in this interview. What have you brought us this Thursday? You have to start bringing us things. What is? What
nothing.
Have you done?
Oh, a lot of nothing.
Eric keeps saying that's why he's upset with you.
Eric's excited for next
me.
Week.
Eric just hates me being on the show. Yeah, is the, what's his face,
Niv?
Coming in next week?
Yes, that's my
but
booking.
You brought the guest.
Yeah, that's my guest.
I don't know him.
Right, but that's
how am I supposed to bring
so
him?
So far, you've known no one. You have a guy in California who's lived there for 6 years who is afraid of a word that doesn't really insult anyone.
And we're coming into the third.
It's a very offensive word.
I understand. I've done some inquiries. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
but I've talked to several people. Among, with that, I don't think it's
among
offensive.
Among your group.
Among everybody. I didn't get one email saying you can't say that.
Who are you siding with in the McGregor Mayweather?
He changed his subject.
Yeah, I saw him do that, yeah. I don't know who to side with on this because the whole thing's such a farce. But I love the media. Whoever's writing this.
The fact they're doing the tour.
The tour is fantastic. Tour is
so
they said
good.
That the New York one, they may switch venues to sell tickets to a bigger group. They were going to do it at a Javits or like a, you know, a little convention center.
They were like, no, Madison Square Garden.
No, they're going to put it in the Garden. If we can get it open for the Garden, we're going to try to get 15,000
people.
Why
would you not do
because
that?
Because it's brilliant. Like, so far, it's been fantastic. And yesterday... Now, what they're trying to make it, again, because you people always want to make everything racist. By that, I mean liberal weirdos. Is that Conor
What strikes
McGregor,
you about me being liberal?
Your accent.
Oh,
anyway,
really?
Please, let me finish. No, I'm just saying, like, they're trying to make it a racist thing that Conor McGregor said, dance for me, boy. Because and that's the thing that in America, you're not supposed to say to a black person, call him boy, but everywhere else, baby, be like, what's the big deal?
I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah, the word boy is like saying Blackie.
Yeah, I learned that lesson the hard way.
Brady almost got punched at a basketball
game. I did get punched.
That's true.
Have you been to any boxing matches? Because I've never been, but I've heard like it's pretty hostile in the audience if you're in there.
Floyd Mayweather made a habit of beating up Mexicans on Mexican Independence Day and Cinco de Mayo in Las Vegas every year.
Right.
And I would go to both his fights for about 3 years. I went to both the May and September fights. And depending on the fighter he was against and their ties to that country, it got very – there was one time we actually ran away from the MGM – because we're like, this is getting out of hand. Megan had heels on. We're like, let's just hurry out of here. We had a car waiting. I'm like, no, not walking all the way around with this group. We're getting, because it was getting very heated. It got racial. It was the Ortiz fight, and that ended with controversy on a headbutt and then a punch when Ortiz wasn't looking. And the crowd started to get mad as we're walking out, and the Mexican guys were yelling, you know, you only got it because blah, 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 reparations, basically. And he said, well, Obama's president now, and you can't take that away. If you're always trying to take it, Megan and I are the two lily white, and I'm bald, and we're walking along, and I'm
fellas,
like,
fellas, can't we get along? Done.
And it started getting heated about Obama.
Oh, my God.
And I was just waiting for one bomb to drop from the Mexican side. And I'm like, look, everyone, and I told Megan this. I'm like, I'm not racist, but everyone on the left has a knife, and everyone on the right has a gun. I watch TV. This is going to get sloppy. And it got really intense. And there's only one hallway out.
So when
we hit the road, we were literally, when we weren't the only ones, there were a lot of people like, it's time
there's
to get
a lot
out.
Of shopping in there. You could hide in a store.
You can't, though.
No, I think the stores were like locked down.
Yeah, all those black people and Mexicans? Yeah. No way, they locked the stores.
Did not want anyone coming in and buying any candy on that
people
day.
People singing around trash cans. Yeah.
Whenever you watch the press stuff, doesn't Conor McGregor remind you of Brad Pitt's character at Snatch Now?
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day. It's he's a pikey.
Where I used to live, the guy who played Bricktop used to go into a cafe all the time. And I always wanted to get him to say something that Bricktop would say, but he would always go into this cafe with a real elderly guy in a wheelchair. And I wanted to go up to him and say, can you say like any of the lines I can't say on the radio?
Feed me
like,
to the pigs.
Do you know the definition of nemesis,
yes,
mate?
Exactly that.
Personified in this case.
It'd be the most surprising thing. You see Bricktop wheeling this old man in the wheelchair in, and then and you'd have to like move aside from them so they could sit at the cafe. And then you'd be like, could you just...
I'll get you a coffee, and then I'm going to feed you to the pigs. Oh, I love you. So did you ever go talk to him at all, or just eyeballed him?
No, because he just felt like he was unapproachable. I did suggest to one of my friends one time, I'm like, see if the guy in the wheelchair wants to be wheeled to the bathroom. Because I feel like if the old guy in the wheelchair disappears, I can go up to Bricktop and go, I want you to use the C word.
Right.
That's probably the third most offensive word underneath the N and the P word if we're going to list
that. Oh, yeah, British people hate that one.
Well, no, Americans hate it worse.
We do, but
Americans
British people are second on that. And then the Scots love
it. No, I feel like Americans hate it more. Like English people use it and sometimes make it sound almost poetic. But I remember doing trips with like mates to the States, and they didn't realize how offensive the C word was, and I'd sit in bars and I'd be like, you need to stop saying that word right now. Like,
you're
people
sexy.
Are looking over.
If there's women. My friend from Scotland told the girl at a bar and got and everything was going well.
In Oregon.
And he told her, he said, you're the best looking C word in this place.
Oh,
and she
God.
Immediately grabbed a drink and Smack. Tossed. He had just gotten here. He
completely.
Didn't know. I was complimenting.
I got into a big argument with one of my friends about how offensive it was in the States, and someone else who was with us who traveled the States more often explained it very well by saying it's like peeing on someone's child. It's like that level of bad.
I think that would be worse than being called a name.
Yes, but it's up there. I'm just saying, like that's.
And we to had, put we, it in
we
context.
Had to go, we had to put it into context for like. So anyway, my plan was right. So why don't you go up and see if the old guy? Which have you done more often? Use the C word or peed on someone's
peed on
child.
A child.
Call in now 602. If the phones works, we could do like.
Oh, wouldn't it be great? They don't work where you are either.
No, they don't work anywhere.
Not at all. I mean, nobody's calling your station, but at the same time,
they do. If we had working phones, I could have got rock stars to call.
And they probably do call to tell you, I loved you on Holmberg's show. This morning
we do. I do get some of that.
Yeah, I'm sure of that.
Yeah, yeah, I do get some of that. I was at Film Bar watching.
It's me,
watching,
by the way.
Watching the Iggy Pop. No, it's not you.
Yeah, I'm calling all the time.
Watching the Iggy Pop movie this week, and I was sitting out there with a Maiden shirt, and some guy came along. He's like, Hey, Canfield, love you on Holmberg. Yeah. Maiden, I went too many new songs. John's right. I'm like, who's John? Holmberg, he said that. I'm like, he didn't even go to the show.
But I knew already by the lineup that from what all the Maiden fans said, it stunk.
Anyway, my ploy was push the old guy in the wheelchair, see if he wants to go to the bathroom, to push him away, and then I'll go up to Bricktop and see if he can say the C word and feed me to the pigs and everything. He's like, no, I'm not doing that. But that was, and I used to
Well, just go move the guy in the wheelchair.
No, you need to.
And say, I'll bring you your friend back if you start doing this for me.
Yeah, if you turn into Bricktop.
Otherwise, he's ours.
Like, I'm using the guy in the wheelchair as ransom. Right.
Please take me back to my friend. Like, no.
Put a scone in his mouth.
No, he wasn't like Stephen Hawking. He was just old, he just couldn't walk.
So he's worse than Stephen.
Well, imagine if he sounded like Stephen Hawking and Bricktop started doing his Bricktop routine, and then the guy who sounded like Stephen Hawking started saying the same words as well. Then you've got a double act going on. Then I say to the guy in the cafe, hey, you should start charging for tickets. Get this on Twitter.
Yeah.
Bricktop and the guy who's like Stephen Hawking are saying really offensive
words.
They
know what the word nemesis means. If I get Stephen Hawking to say the C word,
maybe he helps practice. He practices lines.
Yeah, he runs lines with this. Man, what a great scene. Yeah, but it's going to. Who are you picking with, Conor McGregor?
McGregor, just because he's more entertaining. I just feel like it's, you know. And
you think he's going to win?
He's more entertaining? I think he's funnier.
I think he's funnier because he's got different angles. Like Mayweather's just going to wave his check around.
Yeah. I mean, he's arrogant.
And you can say he can't read. That's why he hasn't paid his tax bill.
Which
he can't
is
read
hilarious,
when it comes through,
right? But
isn't that racist though? I think people in the UK are accusing that as being racist.
They are.
Yeah,
that he can't pay his bills or read.
No, he can't read.
So he didn't say you can't read because you're black.
No, but I think that's what people just.
That was your assumption.
But isn't that?
Then you're a bigot.
Yeah, right.
You just heard Ian Canfield say it. You guys are all uncomfortable right now. Well, we're very sorry to both black listeners that Ian said such
you
a horrible.
You've got two?
Yes, of course.
Two?
Yeah, Reggie.
And both
and
of them can read.
Yeah. Right.
And both of them can write. There's going to be crudely written letters.
They will file a complaint. I feel like, you know, the idea of Mayweather is like, he's going to win, but it's like a one-trick pony in terms of like the entertainment value. And the entertainment value is not in this fight because you know he's going to win. The entertainment value is what's going on at Madison Square Garden
pre-fight.
It's
brilliant because everybody who doesn't think it's staged or set up, these guys would fight each other talking like this in a streets if you started
that. Oh my God,
and they said, and you know how I knew it was really fake yesterday, and it made me upset because Floyd's camp wasn't playing along. Ellerbe, his manager, and the other guys were laughing hysterically when Connor was telling him, you can't read, you don't pay your taxes and all that stuff. And Ellerbe is laughing, and I'm like, oh, you're supposed to be that stone cold, you know,
standing
part
up.
Of the team.
This is my guy.
And he's just sitting there going, this is great. He's loving because they're all about to get paid hundreds of millions of dollars. So yeah, it's a farce. The fight. But this is
and if McGregor won, it would be a huge shock.
It would be ridiculous.
I feel like it would send too many shockwaves. It's almost like that can't happen.
Yeah, I agree that it would almost feel like, well, something's up then. It does feel that
like
way.
It's not real.
Right.
Imagine that.
Like we're being duped again. Yeah,
so they go like, look, McGregor, you can have the best lines at the press conference, but then you've got to lose.
Well, the funny thing
but
was.
But then the press conference is going on for longer, so technically you're the biggest star for a longer period of time.
I thought the press conference, the first one, went to Floyd as far as the laughs and like Connor. Mm-hmm. Connor was funny and the suit was great. The second one was clearly a Connor win.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you're kind of balancing this.
Is the next one in London? Is that where they're
New
doing the
York?
Next one?
Is it New York?
When's
London?
London?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, they got one in London and one in New York left. And then, is that it? Four?
And then Chad.
Because yesterday was Montreal or Toronto or something.
Yeah, yesterday was in Canada. Yeah,
personally, I think they already made a deal to have Mayweather win. I don't think he would have taken the fight unless he got a deal.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
If they're going to fix it, I wouldn't doubt. It's like, I'm not doing this.
But does anyone care?
No.
Like, no one cares about that. We care about this entertainment.
Well, I want you're paying all that money to watch a pay-per-view. I mean,
you just
want to
be entertained.
Fight.
How much is the pay-per-view?
$99 if you want the HD. Wow. But that's the thing. I agree with that.
99 quid.
I think if you're getting your money, stop it, Brady.
99 quid.
You're not relating to it. The exchange rate doesn't apply that way. I'm sorry.
125.
Yeah, about 125.
That's ridiculous. He's trying so hard. No, if you go ahead, say Alsatian and Bond.
No,
keep going. Ask him if he eats Bubble and Squeak. Go on, hit the road.
I already know that.
Do you eat the Bubble and Squeak?
Bubble and Squeak's different here, I think, isn't it?
We don't have it. We have restaurants.
No, he did in England.
Yeah, you do in England.
Right, we don't.
Brussels sprouts are much better here, which is what Bubble and Squeak is.
That's all. I thought it was just leftovers.
Yeah, but it's mixed up like Brussels sprouts and mashed potato.
That's why there's no good English restaurants. That sounds awful.
Well, this is why England was behind with food. Because when you guys were like having different food every day, we go, right, let's have a roast dinner on the Sunday and then let's take the leftovers of that and that will be the dinner on the Monday. They never got over rationing after World War II for about 50 years.
It's
basically what happened. They were like, someone said, hey, hello, England, it's 1985. You don't have to still eat leftovers anymore.
Hey, you're the ticking time bomb one country over. You're going to keep your food at a minimum.
My Santa-loving brother is actually in London right now.
Oh, yeah. I feel sorry for him.
Is there something I could tell him to do that would get his ass kicked or anything?
Yeah. Well,
like that?
Tell me what.
Call somebody a packy.
Do that, definitely. That would be the point. That would get his ass kicked and probably end him up in jail if he wants an all-round experience.
All right.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great?
Send him to a certain village, town that is. Yeah.
No, I think if he uses that word, he'll get his ass kicked and end up in jail, and then it would be great radio if his one call was to this show.
But our phones don't work, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, damn.
So it doesn't really matter.
Maybe I can call in. Call there.
You try to call him and give him our special Zephyr line.
What is he doing in London?
He's actually there for a month for school.
Is he looking for Jeff Lynne?
He's in college.
to get a signed autograph to put on the website? Is that what he's doing? He's one of those signed
finishing
pictures?
Touches on the website.
He's going to a play every day for 30 days.
Oh, okay.
Really?
What?
No, he's
that's
not.
That's expensive.
That's like...
Through
that's
the
like,
school.
Oh.
Wow.
Ugh.
The school, well, what kind of school is he going to? That's like £100 a day.
Well, I don't think he must be going to a small little... local community theater.
Or like Shakespeare in the Park.
Yeah, it must be some
crappy because like you're saying,
he's just watching a street performer. He's watching one of those people that stand still that can't move. For 30 days, he's going to dance around one of them and tickle them and try and get them to move.
You're always bashing on England. What's your favorite part of England? What's the best thing about it that we don't have here?
The best thing about England that you don't have here?
Yeah. Oh, man, you can't think of anything.
Living in a caravan?
Yeah. Stop it. See, you're still not relating. Stop it.
You know, this is how bad England is. They had a reality show last year called Caravaner of the Year that was basically made by the BBC.
Yeah.
It was basically like people trying to reverse in caravans on a caravan site. That was a 6-part reality show.
I think I'd
so,
watch that
so
for a while.
No, caravanning is not anything like this. Do I miss any?
Something has to be great about it.
The cheese is better.
All right, that's not a thing.
No, that is a thing. Seriously, the cheese here is kind of rubbery.
Yeah.
So outside of my immediate family, if you ask me what I miss about England, genuinely, I would say about 10 people and cheese. And to be fair, you know what? One of my friends was visiting one of the 10 I still speak to.
Yeah.
And he's like, who are the other 9?
Yeah.
And so we were talking about people we know, and he's like, I think you need to make an effort to get it down to 5.
You got to whittle that list down a little bit, and then like make sure specific cheeses are listed as well.
Get it down to
5.
Cheddar or something. Or?
No, just the cheese with it lacks taste and it's rubbery.
No
here.
Kidding.
You got to talk to Tripper Ebe. He's an expert on.
He brings great cheeses to parties.
No, he doesn't.
If he ever came to your house, which won't happen, but if he ever did, he brings a cheese plate almost every time.
Always, he always has cheese around.
Yeah.
Really?
Every time he's coming to my house,
what parties he's been having lately?
Cheese places. You know, Wheeled World of Cheese. I don't know where he goes. I'm not a cheese guy. There's cheese.
If you weren't afraid of him, you could talk.
Yeah. Well, because every time he goes in there, he gets demoted.
Actually, I went in to see him this week for a chat, and we were talking about how good the numbers are on all AZ, and he goes, because his office is next door to this studio. Yeah, well, he points through the wall, and he goes, don't underestimate the power of you being there on the numbers on all AZ.
That's exactly
we were showing gratitude, and I was like, yeah, I know it. And then he goes, by the way, did you really see Iron Maiden twice?
Man, you make him evil.
Yeah, he does. Wouldn't you?
That's because any British voice, that's why we always get cast as a villain. Any British tone, right?
Right.
So even if it's an American person.
But again, Eric, if every time you went into Tripp's office, you had a new schedule, you'd be upset.
He's turned him into a demon.
He's
like, you know what I want to do to you, Ian? To the roof.
That day when I told you about someone who got fired by giving a red card, and then he came in here for real, and he went, I love the red card story.
I love using red cards for that. Yeah! Let's fire him! Yes, the enemy.
This can be the new Guadalupe Square. It could be Tripp Reeb the Demon. Yeah, so we've got my Tripp Reeb, your Tripp Reeb, the real Tripp Reeb, and Tripp Reeb the Demon. Right?
You're smooth. He's trying to get on the
screen. I know. He's trying to get a second day.
Listen.
What's not happening?
I did not say that.
Yes, you did. You said,
Eric, this is the nicest you've ever been to me. We've had some back and forth.
There's brief moments, Ian. You've got to understand.
I'm onto your game.
A guy. I'm trying to help your brother get arrested in London.
I appreciate that.
Know,
I do.
Yeah. I mean, it would be way more entertaining than
listen
him going
to this.
To see
I just got a text you're going to love from somebody who hasn't been in the city for a while and just came back and said, I just got back into town. I don't know how long you've been doing this segment with Ian, but you're making Ian interesting. Add magician to your job title.
Well, you know, I feel like this is like pulling a rabbit out of a hat, taking the listeners from here and putting them on auto. See, I mean, we become, you are a magician.
We're
in top
we're
three.
It's what I
triple
do.
Down ratings economics. It's what we're doing. Right,
we're doing Reagan's economy for ratings. Reagan ratings.
That's exactly what we're doing.
It's glorious. Well, anything to tell the world today, Ian. When is
big
it?
Guess,
do you have any
weeks.
Guess? No. I don't know. I don't know what's coming with your guest situation.
When Rob good. Comes into town.
Next Thursday.
When he's back.
What, you said you July. Gotta know, though.
What?
You've got to know the time.
Do you want me to text him and find out when he's back?
Or are you just going to show up with him one day?
Why wouldn't you do that?
I'll show up with him one day.
All right, so I don't want to.
He's going to come in. Look, I'll let you know he's coming in. He's not been back in he's not been back in Phoenix yet.
Every day you're on Skype with him.
I don't want to do it.
He sent me a...
No,
he will do it. He will do it.
But Brady's there.
No,
when he talks, his little ears wiggle.
No, I tell you, no.
He sent me a picture of his new swimming pool.
That doesn't help us.
No, I know, but he's been having his swimming pool renovated while he's not here. Once he's back, we will sort of... Maybe Brady will get an invite to the swimming
party?
Pool. Yeah, how about that? Brady can get invited to a pool party.
That would be pretty
Alpha's
sweet.
Place in Paradise
I just
Valley.
Pictured
and
he'll go,
that. Hey, Rob, you cannibal!
No. He'll be saying, look, you can see where Mike Tyson kept his pigeons from here.
Did he buy Tyson's house or just
no,
near?
But you can see the old house from
no
there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. And the pigeon hut's still up?
No, I don't think the pigeon hut. The pigeon hut. Didn't he get evicted for that?
See, he was in trouble for
so
it.
So racist,
yeah.
The people in Paradise Valley.
Well,
they just didn't want
please.
A black man living there. And they said... They
you said it, not me.
Well,
I'm
just saying.
I mean, you're 100% right. But
they were like, maybe
that.
We could use the pigeons as an excuse. He built pigeons.
I told you, you let them move in, it's just going to be covered in birds. Yeah, it's there goes the neighborhood. They're worried about the pigeons. That's it. Well, Rob's... Pool party just went through my head real quick.
I know, but that's a new
and
idea.
I don't think
when
cannibal.
Is Robbie coming?
I don't think cannibal means the
when
same
he's back
thing.
Back here, look. Let me show you a picture of the pool that you could see that you could sit by.
If Brady says cannonball, box. Is he just going to get coated with like he's going to get bukkake'd, right? If he says cannonball, everybody's going to attack him at a Rob a pool party. Horrifying.
Nice.
Let's take a look.
There you go.
That looks pretty finished.
Looks like a pretty
yeah,
normal.
Yeah, no, that's yeah. Well, that's just been done up, so that's where you could be.
I got to be honest. I expected better.
It's got a view. What do you want to see?
It's an average pool. Negative edge, nothing? You didn't want to kick in?
It's got a nice view. Let's see it again.
Last album must not have done very well.
Yeah, I'm in real estate. He doesn't have a negative edge.
People looking over Paradise Valley. He's on the mountain.
What the hell?
Yeah, that's kind of a garbage pool for a guy who considers himself a star. We'll talk to him about that if you ever
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's
you
nice.
Can critique his pool.
Let me see. It's okay.
It's got a good, yeah, he's
well, the view
high.
Is the view is there with or without the pool.
The
put in
there,
a good pool.
Yeah, but the pool's good. Okay, well, I'll let him know. Look, they don't like your pool, so you don't need to invite them
well,
to that.
Come
but
over
they,
and
but they really want
maybe
to
it looks
you
better
on the
in
show.
Person. Maybe it looks better in person. I need to see that up close.
And as soon as someone else comes through Phoenix who I know, I will get them on the show.
All I picture at a Rob Halford pool party is guys in suspenders and Speedos dancing.
And I expect
no, you have
the,
to, you have to dress up
kid.
As the cop with the whip.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's like it's going to turn crazy.
And at one point, he drives through on the bike.
Oh, and then that's all you see of him.
I don't want to talk to you.
And then he flies away. Ian, is always a pleasure. Ian Canfield.
Thank you very much.
Canfield in the morning, saving his job as best we can.
Well, you
we
are, and
like
I said thank you.
No, I know. I don't look. Don't get all snotty about it. I'm just
I'm not getting snotty. I'm being nice about it. You're turning into sure. Eric. I'm being nice, and you're throwing back my niceness.
Say me. Goodbye to Eric.
Hey, thanks, Eric. You've been
F
almost
you.
Nice today.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Man, that turned.
See,
that turned.
Honestly,
that took a turn.
Yeah, there we go.
Canfield's on over there at KDKB.
Cheers.
Thanks.
If you want to get in touch with your feminine side, it starts in 12 minutes. It's 98 KUPD.
Tap that out. KUPD app. Download it now. Live stream. Morning Sickness Podcast. And Prices. The more you listen, the more you score.